Notre Dame, with a historic tradition of excellence, welcomes you to the Jack Swarbrick Show, where we pursue all things Notre Dame athletics.
The Jack Swarbrick Show is brought to you by
Team Notre Dame Partner Spirit, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Now, the host of the Jack Swarbrick Show, Jack Nolan, on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.
Welcome, Irish fans, to this week's edition of the Jack Swarbrick, Joe Schmidt Show. On today's show, we'll talk with the second-year head coach of the Notre Dame women's soccer team, a team that is beginning another run of the NCAA tournament as a three seed, Teresa Romagnolo. And since the Wake Forest game is also senior day for the Notre Dame football team, we thought we would give Joe Schmidt a little company today and invite another of his teammates who will be running out of the tunnel during pregame ceremonies this weekend, linebacker Jarrett Grace. And now here are your hosts, Joe Schmidt and Jack Swarbrick.
Great to see you, man.
Yeah, great to see you too, Jack.
Don't worry. You know, we should have had you do the intro to see if you could have done Teresa Romagnolo.
I was going to say, Teresa Romagnolo, I was working on that for a while before here. I don't want to mess it up when we see Coach in a few minutes here. It was tough. I don't know, the accents on different things. So
yeah, well, you handled it perfectly there. So you must have been practicing.
I know. I wanted to ask you before the show started, and I know you're going to probably punch me over the chair here, but you got an interesting thing there on your lapel. I wanted to kind of ask you what was going on with that. You never seemed to worn that before. Are you a Kansas City Royal fan?
So you're right. It was a good week in Pittsburgh, and we'll. representative of two things: the danger of making friendly wagers, and so Mike Harity, who you know, who runs. A lot of the athlete services for us here at Notre Dame is a big Royals fan, and all my passions go towards the Mets. So Mike was going to have a sign on his door for a week saying, "Let's go Mets," a length of the door, in his office door, so all of you who visit him could see that. I never contemplated that the flip side of the bet, me wearing a lapel pin for a week, would ever come to pass. But there were some managerial decisions made in that series that have caused me to have to wear this lapel pin.
I was going to say, yeah, you know, it was a great series, though. I mean, two fantastic teams. Obviously, not the result that you were looking for with the Royals coming out. But
I should probably explain my Mets connection.
Yeah, yeah. Why the Mets?
Exactly. I was born in Yonkers, New York, and my grandfather took me out of kindergarten and took me down to the Mets' very first home game ever when they opened as a franchise.
No way.
Yeah, so it was in the Polo Grounds, and a bunch of former Dodgers who didn't have the skill to play for the Dodgers anymore comprised the Mets roster, and it just created a connection. You know, it happens at that age in sports, right, where you develop your passion for teams that stuck with me. So it was a good run for the Mets, but in game one in the ninth inning, when our closer was out there and he one bad pitch tied the game, I sort of felt like the series was probably over then, and it was.
Yeah, I know. It was an unfortunate turn, really. I mean, he had such a great season.
A great marvelous season.
Yeah, marvelous season, great postseason. And I think if you were to choose one guy to be out on the mound at that point in the game, it's got to be him.
Yeah, and then when they needed him out on the mound in game five, they stuck with Harvey.
I know, right? It was interesting decisions.
But on to more important stuff, a good week at Pitt.
Yeah, great weekend. Weekend in Pittsburgh. You know, we came out with a W over a quality team, which, you know, Pittsburgh always seems to give us a hard time. You know, we've played them four times in my 5 years here, and every time it seems to, you know, go down to the very, very end. And they're such a tough football team. And to come out of there with a victory, you know, really, really was satisfying.
Yeah, we mucked around a little bit at the very end. But up to that point, I mean, I'm not used to those comfortable fourth quarters. We had really put it together in that second half.
Yeah, and you know, really, I think there were a few factors that came into play there. I think, you know, our team really showed up to start the football game, firing on all cylinders. And, you know, really, I know I mentioned this last week, but it was such an advantage, I think, for us to get out there on Thursday and to have some practice on Friday and to really kind of wake up early and be ready for the game. And it was a 12:00 kick, so it was so different for us. So, you know, really, thank you, I guess, for getting that done. It's great to have, you know, the resources at Notre Dame to do something like that, but I just thought that that was such an advantage for us, you know, just to be, you know, wide awake when we started the game.
Yeah, I mean, how different was a noon start for you? I mean, the last one was 11, I know, 2011.
Yeah. So. I was going to say, I was there at the last noontime start. It's and I know it sounds maybe a little crazy to, you know, to the listeners at home, but when you're so – you have a routine for a 3:30 or a, you know, 8 o'clock game when we're on the road, it's just so different to have your body be at top performance – you know, 6 hours, 7 hours earlier, or, you know, even 3 hours earlier. So for us, we have to switch kind of everything we do. And, you know, even when we wake up in our hotel rooms, you know, all the way up to the game, everything has to be a little bit faster, a little more, you know, a little more heightened, and you can't kind of roll slowly towards game time. So it's a huge transition in how you just mentally prepare for the game. And I think that's what Coach Kelly and yourself and, you know, Chad, who we had on the show, did a great job of addressing that and getting us ready for the game.
Yeah, no, it was, you know, Coach talks every week about starting fast.
Oh, yeah.
And
one of the four
elements of victory.
Yeah.
And we hadn't always done it this year, and it was nice to see that reflected in the game. You know, the game was typical of the season in a lot of ways. A key contributor goes down relatively early. CJ gets dinged, and in comes the next man in and has a heck of a game.
Unbelievable, really. I mean, heck of a game. It's almost like – it's almost not even enough to talk about how well Josh Adams did, really, in his first truly significant mainstay performance as a Notre Dame halfback. And, you know, I thought he ran incredibly hard. You know, he did everything you want, you know, a featured back to do while he was being featured. And really, I just thought it was great for him to kind of show that, you know, we can count on him and that he was ready for his moment. And I think that's something that, you know, everybody tries to say, you need to be ready for your moment. But Josh for sure was ready, and he's been working hard all, you know, all season, and really for his whole life for this. And so it was great for me to kind of watch and be able to share that with him after the game.
Yeah, and you've gotten to see it on 11-on-11, right?
I mean,
not a surprise to you that he could do that.
No. Josh, I knew Josh was going to be a heck of a football player. We were doing a scrimmage this last – I want to say it was during training camp, and they threw a little flare screen out to the to our defense's left side. And he made a couple guys miss, and I got there. He made me miss too, and then you know, got another 6 yards and pulled a couple guys for a few yards. And I was like, "Wow, this kid's gonna be a player." And that was his second or third day here, you know, during not here but in camp.
Yeah.
So it was really impressive.
Defense had to start without one of its key contributors at safety because of the targeting call from the previous week, but responded really effectively.
Yeah, you know, and that penalty is so tricky, really. You know, if you get in the second half of a game and they determine that it's malicious, you're going to miss the next half, which is it makes it really difficult on the football team. So lucky for us, we have you know a captain and a fifth year senior in Matthias Farley who's ready at all times to come in and to make plays for us. And sure enough, he comes in there and. What's the guy do? Ball Hawks gets an interception and saves.
Great interception.
So I mean, really, that's Matthias for you though. He's a guy that's always ready for his moment and to come in and help. And he only cares about the team. And it's great to have someone like that, you know, playing behind you. For me, it was almost soothing.
You know, we had one guy. I thought maybe he had just gotten confused as to who had possession of the ball when he ran out on the field. But we had Torrey.
Oh yeah, I know.
switch sides for a few plays in the game. So what's that been like?
Torrey, before he comes out there, he's just like, "Yo, like, you got to make sure you take care of me out there, man. Like, this is my first time in a long time doing this." And I was like, "Don't worry, man. We'll make sure everything's good. We're gonna, you know, you can run, just tackle the guy with the ball. It's gonna be simple." And sure enough, he was almost in on a sack. You know, he covered his man perfectly. And you know, he's such a unique talent, unique athlete. We had him on, you know, we had him on the show, and we talked about how he plays baseball. But really, the guy can do just about anything he wants on the football field. He had a touchdown, played defense. He's an incredible athlete.
I thought one of the real keys to the game, after a week in which he was a little – his only sort of shaky week of the year, was we kept flipping the field on punting. I thought that was a huge difference.
I know. Well, we knew it was going to be a heck of a day for Tyler when in pregame warmups he kept the ball in bounds. normally we end our pregame warm up with a punt, and the whole team covers it. So if anyone has watched, we the whole team kind of spreads the field, and I swear for the last 5-6 weeks, Tyler's kicked it like 10 yards out of bounds, like a 20-yard kick. It's been really bad. And so he kicks like a perfect, 50-yard, super high hanging kick. And I remember thinking to myself, today is going to be a good day. Like, yeah. we're going to be okay on the special teams regard. And he did a great job. He always does.
Senior day.
Oh, my gosh.
Be a little emotion flying around. I know Coach McGraw always says, It's the toughest day to coach the year because you never know what you're going to get out of your players because of all the emotion that's sort of incumbent on that day. An emotional day for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, really, it's almost hard to talk about because on the one hand, we're so focused on Wake Forest, and we know that they're such a quality opponent and they deserve our full attention. But then there's the other hand where, you got your whole family's coming in and they're talking about this is the last time that we're gonna do this. The last time they're going to tailgate for a game of yours at home. And the last time that, we were able to go in and practice on a Thursday Wednesday in the stadium. And it's a lot of special memories coming to a close. So it's been really a special experience to spend the last 5 years here and one last game in Notre Dame Stadium. Hopefully we can make it a great day for our fans and for all the seniors.
Well, I have no doubt we will. How do you sort of compartmentalize the two? How do you flip the switch, right? So you're ready to go rip somebody's head off a moment after you've had, what's going to be an emotional run out on the field?
I that's a good question, and I think it comes down to just relying on your preparation. So once I think, we're in the locker room for pregame and we're doing, we're putting our pads on and we're getting taped up, I think the focus will be on what it needs to be on, and that's Wake Forest. But I'm thinking about the times maybe after the game, which will be especially emotional. And, until that point, I think I'm just going to try to rely on the fact that, I've been in the stadium, so many times and kind of just go back to training and kind of try to block out the emotional side of the whole thing and play with just maybe a little bit extra enthusiasm.
Well, we're looking forward to a special day. I think the weather gods are going to smile on us.
I'm hoping.
You've had a great weather senior year, by the way.
I know, right? Somebody's been doing it.
It's been really good.
Did someone say a prayer for us when the Pope was here? I was praying while we were watching him on the TV. But
weather's Father John's department.
I see.
He's got better connections than me. Well, Will, let's get on to the guest portion of the show, and we'll be back in a minute.
Sounds good.
Irish fans, make sure you download the official Watch ND mobile app available on iOS and Android devices. The Watch ND mobile app is the best way to experience great Fighting Irish digital media, video, and audio content right on your tablet or smartphone. You'll get full access to our entire video on demand library, live game and event broadcasts, live shows and press conferences, live game stats, and more. And best of all, it's free. Search for Watch ND in the iTunes Store or Android Play to download the Watch ND mobile app today.
Have a great weekend. Join us Monday morning as we try out those new steps at Union Station. You play Kevin Costner, I'll play the baby John Howell. 89 WLS.
Our first guest this week is in her second season guiding the Notre Dame women's soccer program and her fifth as a collegiate head coach. After earning national acclaim during 8 years serving as an assistant coach at San Diego and Stanford, Teresa Romanolo took the head coaching job at Dartmouth and proceeded to lead the Big Green to 25 wins in 3 seasons, including a 13-4 record in 2012 that just missed earning the team's first NCAA bid since 2005. Teresa took over the head coaching duties here at Notre Dame last season and led the Irish to a 14-6-2 record, a semifinal appearance in the ACC tournament, and a 3-game run in the NCAA tournament. The Irish finished the regular season this year with a 13-4-1 record, which earned them a number 3 seed in this year's NCAA tournament. We are grateful Coach Romanolo has been able to carve out some time during her NCAA preparations to visit with Jack and Joe today.
Coach, welcome. Great to have you on the show. Congratulations on the 3 seed. I was actually at the NCAA offices when they were putting it together, and they gave me a little sneak preview, and I was pretty excited to see us on the 3 line and get an opportunity to host. What's your assessment of where we've been placed?
I mean, I think it's a great reward for kind of the work that we've put in over the course of the season. I think, you know, there's no easy road. You know, I think there's so many quality teams out there. I like where we're at. You know, I think, you know, obviously we need to focus on one game at a time, but I like the road that we have ahead of us.
You know, you mentioned, and I know you commented on this after our last games, but not just where we are in terms of the tournament, but coming into it, we're playing some of our best soccer of the year.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, we've won the last 5 out of 6 regular season games. We finished with a 3-0 win over Virginia Tech on senior day, and they were number 5 in the country at that point, and that was really a game that we just came out and dominated, right? So I feel that we're really kind of ticking on all cylinders right now. I think we had a nice kind of extra week last week to focus on ourselves, to get a little bit more polished on our attack and our finishing, continue to play a lot, to keep our rhythm going. And I think this week they're just hungry to be able to play somebody else and get after somebody else other than ourselves every day in training.
Now, the ACC, it's such a tough conference, and it's, you know, it was such a great move for us getting in there. There's 8 members of our conference that are in the tournament. Can you talk a little bit about just conference play and how that's going to really prepare us for what seems to be a tough tournament?
Yeah, I mean, the ACC is the best conference in women's soccer right now. So, I mean, if you look at the regular season, we had a weekend where we went to Virginia, we came home and played Florida State. Last year, those were, you know, the two finalists. You know, then we had another weekend where we went to Carolina, and then we went to Duke, right? 2 top 15 opponents again. So, you know, I think having a regular season where you get to play those type of opponents, you know, day in and day out, you get to measure yourselves, you know, consistently and see where you're at, what you need to improve on, what you're doing well. So I really feel at this point, especially finishing the season with Carolina, Duke, and Virginia Tech, you know, we were really able to see where we were at and gain a lot of confidence from the things that we were able to do against those type of opponents.
In the course of every season, every team sort of develops its own personality. Mm-hmm. No two teams are the same. But when you get to this point, you sort of are who you are.
Mm-hmm.
What is the personality of this team? Who are they?
I think one thing that really separates this team is our great defense. You know, I think, right now we've allowed 9 goals, which is 5th in the country. And, you know, when people talk about defense, a lot of times they think about, you know, your back 4. You know, for us, it's about team defense. You know, so I think one thing we do a great job of is we apply early pressure on teams. We don't give them time to really get comfortable. Because when you give teams, you know, time on the ball, you give them an opportunity to look good. So one thing we've done a great job of is when we lose the ball, we win the ball back within 1 or 2 passes. So it's really a team effort. The forwards do an incredible job of instantly applying pressure. And then our midfield group is just incredibly athletic, and they're just tenacious. They get their feet on so many balls doubling back. They pick off passes. They win 50-50s. You know, so really by the time it's getting to our back 4, it's very predictable, and they're able to step in front and win it. You know, but really they're not having to do as much in the back because of the work that the front 6 are doing to prevent the ball from even getting, you know, into the dangerous areas in front of our goal. So, you know, I think the thing that separates this team is just how hard they work to win the ball. So then we're able to actually keep it. And the other team's so tired because they've been defending us for such a big part of the game. So yeah. I feel that we've been able to then wear teams down over the course of 90 minutes.
Yeah, I wanted to follow up on that because that's exactly my observation when I watched the team. The fitness level is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
What's contributed to that, you know, to be able to play have the front 6 play as much of the field as they do?
Right. Well, I mean, anytime I think you can have the ball more than the other team, you don't get as tired, right? So I think because, you know,
that's a good observation.
Yeah.
So I think that's why we really emphasize win the ball back quickly so we can have the ball and make them chase us,
right?
So then, you know, soccer is a game it can be difficult to score in, right? So, you know, at the end of the day, you want to wear down the opponent, so hopefully you're creating more and more chances as the game goes on. So we want them chasing us, expending more energy, and then more gaps start to open up over the course of those 90 minutes where we're going to get more opportunities.
Well, we have some unique talent on this team. We've got obviously some national team players and Carrie and Katie, and really a really strong midfield. So is this something that you know, the way of maintaining possession of the ball, trying to wear a team down, is it something that you grew up in coaching with that kind of mindset, that idea, or was it something you kind of switched over into once you got to Notre Dame, or how did that kind of play out?
No, I've always liked to play that system. You know, I like to make teams uncomfortable when they're on the ball. I think, you know, it's a fun style to play because it's so up-tempo, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you're forcing another team to turn the ball over in their half.
Right.
So it's a lot easier to attack when you're already in their half and not having to build out of your back every time. You know, so at the end of the day, we're very fortunate in Notre Dame to have, you know, great athletes, you know, great technical players, you know, great tactical players. So we really kind of have the best of everything on the field. So we're able to do, you know, what we're able to do defensively. And I think this year, especially, our midfield is more athletic maybe than we have been in the past. You know, so Sandra Yu, Sabrina Flores, Glory Williams, Taylor Clawinder, Jenny McGowan, when those players have been in there, you know, they work so well together. And just the work that they're putting in for us is just, it's invaluable in terms of turning the ball over and letting us, you know, get a hold of the ball.
Sandra was on the show earlier mm-hmm. this year. She's a great story of perseverance and mm-hmm. Couple of years where injuries were keeping her from playing, and now, as you say, a major contributor this year.
Yeah, she's been incredible. I mean, she's so fun to watch. She's one of the hardest working players I've watched in terms of, you know, tracking all the way back defensively and then making forward runs, taking players on, slide tackling. We've put her on the front line, actually, at times when we want to interject more energy on the front line because of her mobility. You know, she's going to sometimes force the other forwards to just run if they're getting stagnant because she's going to run into their space and say, get out of here, right? You know, so she kind of gets the mobility going out there for everybody. She can score goals. She can set people up. You know, at the end of the day, we're actually always harping on her to be more attacking-minded in terms of getting her shot off because she's such a selfless player, right, in terms of how she plays. But I think her and Sabrina, just the mobility that those two bring, whether front line or in the midfield, it has kind of really changed, I think, the look of this team. Because last year, Sabrina was playing on the outside of the defense.
Right.
And Sandra was still coming back from her ACL. So those two going into the center mid, I think, have just really changed the way that we're able to play this year.
We talked a little bit about injuries to Sandra, mm-hmm. you know, which was terrible for the beginning of her career here. About that is depth. And mm-hmm. you mentioned 5-6 names when you talk about our midfield.
Yep.
Really, I think it's fascinating the world of women's soccer recruiting mm-hmm. and how early you have to start. And you know, we are blessed here at Notre Dame with the ability to get great quality recruits. But how do you start so early and identify prospects, you know, when they're freshmen in high school and you can't even offer them because we don't have transcripts? You know, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a challenge because of where recruiting is with women's soccer. I mean, you have freshmen who have already committed, right? So at the end of the day, we're watching these young kids and trying to project where they're going to be athletically in 4 years and, you know, crossing our fingers that, you know, what we see is going to actually pan out in 4 years. So at the end of the day, we have to do it because otherwise we're going to fall behind the other programs. You know, I think the challenge also with Notre Dame is academically, you know, they have to understand kind of the requirements over the course of those 3 years after they make a verbal commitment, you know, to get it done in the classroom, you know, and then there's the unknown of the SATs, right?
Right.
So at the end of the day, you know, we're looking for the best students after their freshman year, right? So, and just making sure that they try, you know, they understand that, you know, this is a unique opportunity. It's worth taking the time in the classroom and putting that work in both on the field and in the classroom.
Do you think that'll ever change, by the way? Because, you know, just with sisters that played college soccer, do you think that system will ever change?
The early recruiting
system?
I mean, it's a tough one, right? Because you could put restrictions on it, but at the end of the day, how do you stop a verbal commitment that's in outer space?
Right.
Right? I mean, someone can make a verbal commitment and just never tell anybody, and it could never get publicized, but mm-hmm. that, you know, you can't stop that type of communication, I don't feel, between the coach and the student athlete. There's so many avenues around it.
Yeah, right. That's the problem, trying to figure out. I think there's a general consensus across sports. It's a bad thing, and we can't figure out how to legislate it. So it's problematic. You mentioned the great senior game performance, which brings me to the seniors.
Yeah.
I hope they have a lot of games left here in the tournament, but a great group who's mm-hmm. provided so much to the university. Could you spotlight the seniors a little bit for us?
I mean, they're great. You know, I think this has been such an enjoyable group to work with. You know, we've got 6 of them, and they each play, I think, a unique role. You know, I think, you know, Katie and Carrie at the center back position, you know, are returning captains. They're great leaders on that back line. They're just great soccer players, and they're great people off the field, you know. So I think, you know, it's a senior class that's able to really bring everybody together. There's no kind of distinction between the classes, you know, when they're a part of the program. And they want what's best for each other. You know, Glory Williams is a captain this year. She plays in the center mid. You know, she's an incredible soccer player in terms of connecting kind of the lines, you know, up the field. You know, but she's also off the field one of the most selfless, you know, people that you're going to find, you know. And I think having, you know, the other players know that, you know, she would do anything for them just, you know, speaks volumes to what we're able to achieve, right? You know, in terms of doing everything that we can for each other on the field and working for each other and knowing that, you know, we have each other's back in everything that we do.
Well, good luck in the tournament. We're looking for a long run. And really excited about how the team is playing right now, and congratulations on all the success, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks, we're excited.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.
We'll be back in a minute.
It's practically a community service. Steve Dahl, weekday afternoons 2 till 6 on 89 WLS.
Our second guest this week is a fifth-year linebacker who, like Joe Schmidt, has already earned his undergraduate degree from the Mendoza College of Business and is now in graduate school. Jarrett Grace played in 13 straight games after getting on the field the first time as a sophomore and was making the third start of his career when he suffered a devastating leg injury in the Shamrock Series game against Arizona State in 2013. It took 14 months of grueling rehabilitation just for Grace to get back onto the practice field during Music City Bowl preparations last December. Grace has played in every game this year and has now recorded 10 tackles, including 5 in Notre Dame's win over a now-ranked Navy team. We welcome Jarrett to today's Joe Schmidt, Jack Swarbrick Show.
Jarrett, great to have you on, man.
Thank you very much, Jack. It is my pleasure to be here with two just fine gentlemen.
The wild man. I can't tell everyone how excited I am for this.
Yeah, I should just get out of the way. I'm the ultimate the ultimate fifth wheel in this interview.
And
I understand we're just like we're drafting on a Showtime segment that's already been shot. Is this right?
Hey, we can neither confirm nor deny.
Exactly.
There is something in the works for the next show, but we're thinking we might win an Emmy for that segment.
Yeah, I'm thinking I may use my editorial control, and it may not show up.
I was going to say, some of the stuff probably shouldn't be on there, but
yeah.
We had a good time.
You know, the chemistry is undeniable. You got to capture that and show that off, so...
You could just see it—the looks in their faces, in their eyes. It's just so real. But JG, you know, this is something that maybe I wanted to talk about a little bit, and I know we've both been thinking about it. But senior night, this is something that it's so special to us. We love this university so much. Mm-hmm. Just talk about Saturday and what it means to you.
If I would say that it came too fast, that would be an understatement. I think our time here has flown by, and we've talked about that too. Great length is it's just, wow, where's the time gone? But at the same time, we can just reflect back on so many memories, great times, experiences on the field, off the field, just this great Notre Dame community. But here it is upon us again. You know, I thought last year was pretty emotional, but this really is it for us. So, wow, I think we just have to take care of business, then really enjoy ourselves afterwards. And I think that will make it just a perfect day.
Who do you have coming up for the game?
Oh, 20 plus people. I have all my friends and family.
Yeah, you took all the tickets, Jarrett.
Yeah, I was on it early in the year. You know, I traded
you
all my tickets.
All.
I made some deals, you know, just because I knew I wanted everyone to be there for this moment. Just because, you know, I didn't know if I'd actually be playing or not. You know, that was a question in my mind for a brief period of time. But now that I'm back rocking and rolling with these guys, having a blast on the field, I knew I had to get everyone up for this game.
Well, it's captured on video, and Joe knows, remembers me saying, but we said when we did this show after the Navy game that my favorite moment of the year was seeing you running around knocking people on their butts during that Navy game. I mean, that for me was the full circle, right?
Definitely.
From you seeing you do that the first half in Dallas to seeing you do that again in Navy was so special, and I know it was for you too.
Definitely, and I think full circle is the best way to put it just because taking the field is one thing, you know, playing special teams, but to actually make an impact on the defensive side of the ball, to be where I was before, that meant the world to me. And it was just so fun, too, to be able to line up next to Joe. We've never really been able to do that on the field together. So we're out there communicating, just flying around, having a ball out there. So that was just – that was incredible, really. I'm never going to forget that.
Never. It's funny because, really, you know, I remember as freshmen and sophomores, Jarrett and I used to talk – you know, about eventually being on the field together, and to see that kind of play out finally.
Right.
It was so long waited, but it was so special for me.
Crazy turn of events made it possible.
I know. Right?
Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Jarrett, were there times during what, you know, I know from firsthand experience was a really tough process. Were there times where you thought that wasn't going to happen?
I would like to say in my mind that I was always, you know, dead set on and on knowing that I'm going to come back, I'm going to be exactly where I was before, and everything's going to be okay. But that wasn't the case, just because there were some setbacks and there were things that were occurring that were really outside of my control, especially with having a second surgery and everyone telling you that, okay, this is going to be it. This is going to be great. You're going to be able to go through camp and play and contribute this year. And really things just weren't happening the way the doctors and, you know, the people with all the credentials were telling me how they're going to play out. So there were times where I was just like, I don't know. I don't really know how it's going to play out, but I'm just going to have, you know, faith in myself, faith in everyone around me, faith in God that my hard work is going to pay off and it is going to be worthwhile. So just relying on that really helped, you know, put away all that doubt and fear and just help me just really enjoy the moments that I had and enjoy the progress and each little victory along the way. So eventually, like I said, that doubt was totally gone. I knew that I was going to come back and contribute to this Fighting Irish football team.
You know, something that I think about and really is perhaps the most amazing thing about you is how you've responded, you know, in a leadership stance and as a member of this team since the injury. And I know, obviously, from first-hand experience, to a lesser degree, what it's like watching your brothers go out there and fight without you and how hard that is and how much of a pull it is on your heart. But you almost took it in stride, and really you're an undisputed leader on this football team, and you're someone that I look to, you know, every day, you know, this for guidance and for leadership. And it's how did you do that mentally? I don't know.
Well, thank you, Joe. I really appreciate it. You know, I look up to you and look up to so many of these guys on this team. You guys are just incredible, and it's an incredible group. And, you know, that is what makes it so special, and that is what has allowed me to grow into my role that I have this season. It's because I care about everyone so much. I care about you, all my brothers on the field, that what is the most important thing for me is us being successful. And if my role is being an extra set of eyes on the sideline, communicating things to you or to somebody else, whoever's out there, I'm going to do that with full heart and full energy just because I love Notre Dame. I know you feel the same exact way. Whatever our role is, we're going to pursue that 100 miles an hour just because we love Notre Dame. We want to win. Ultimately, at the end of the day, if we are successful, that is going to mean so much more to me than if I'm out there making a bunch of tackles and Notre Dame isn't being represented the right way and we're not just playing with full passion and energy on each and every play. So that's what I'm all about. I'm about Notre Dame, you know, and I can be that way because I have great teammates. You know, you guys make it easy.
Well, I can tell you from my perspective, not sure I've been around anybody who's more of all about Notre Dame than you are, and we benefited so much from that. Now, before we came on the air, you and I uncovered a conspiracy theory, which I think has real merit. You are identified in the bio here as 6'2.5".
Right.
You're clearly much taller than that.
Right.
You just explained to me you've never been able to get this corrected in 4 years. And so the theory emerged that maybe there's somebody on the team who has a height problem, who's jealous of people who are taller and works with our media department to lower their heights.
Yeah, you know what? When I came and sat down for this radio show, I felt like my chair was even a little bit lower than everyone else's chair. So
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm obviously very tall. 6'0.5".
Oh, okay. 6'0.5".
There's the 0.5 in there on my roster, so I don't know if you noticed, but my stature is something.
Well, the
here.
Theory here is that you're actually borrowing inches from the rest of the team.
Exactly.
You may be 5'10". We're listing you at 6 feet.
I was going to say, Nicky Verratti's convinced I'm 5'9".
Oh, God. So. Yeah, Joe has the ins with whoever's putting together, you know, the media guides on game day where he's just, you know, slashing inches here and there and –
I don't know what you're talking about, but Birch and I are definitely great friends.
Speaking of height.
I was going to say, Birch and I have worked together. We have a
do you share pants?
Yeah.
Man, how did well, where did I take us?
I was going to say we're completely out there.
Jared, you've got your degree. You probably know as much defensive football as anybody on the team because you were calling the plays for a while there.
Oh yeah.
What's next for you? What do you see? What does the future hold?
You know, that is a good question. This year has been great just because, you know, my passion for football has been able to be on display. And for me, you know, I want to pursue that a little bit longer. You know, football isn't over for me right now. I feel like I had some time taken away from me. So not only have I been doing some job interviews for traditional jobs, but this spring I'm going to be training, you know, full on, just really to prepare myself for a potential career after Notre Dame, just because that's what I love to do. Yeah. And if I can use football to help people, I think that would be ideal. And at the end of the day, if I'm in a position where I can just really help people and make an impact, that will be just the epitome of happiness for me. So, yeah, I'm just really exploring all my options, but I'm attacking each and every one with just full heart, full energy, so I can just, you know, represent Notre Dame once I leave this place.
One thing I needed to ask you. I know.
I don't know. There's a million things going through my mind now. You could ask me anything.
Okay. One thing I want to know, though, is other than obviously sleeping six, seven feet away from me now,
right.
What's your best memory from the last 5 years? And I won't be too upset if I'm not involved in this memory, but yeah, I will be slightly
upset. That was the weirdest introduction to that question I could ever imagine.
Hey, living with you is an honor. That is my greatest memory.
I was gonna say,
thank you very much.
It might be. I'm just
for
I'm
gracing
setting you
with
up
your
there,
presence.
Right there. I'm setting you up.
You know, I was actually thinking about this all this week, and there are so many great memories I have on the football field. You know, just playing that national championship game is obviously one that is huge, and I think that's just ignited a fire in a lot of us. That, you know, when it came turn for us to be seniors, our fifth year, that we really want to get back to that, you know, that conversation of being a national championship, being a national champion or contending for that. But to be honest, one of my greatest memories and just really a combined set of moments is actually when I got hurt, just the support I felt from so many people. You know, you're one of those people that came and visited me. Jack, you were somebody who just gave me just incredible words and, you know, wisdom and guidance and just the love I felt from so many people. That, to me, was Notre Dame right there, that sense of family, just that love and caring. I don't know if I could ever feel just so at home here at Notre Dame and so sure of my decision to come here that just combining all those memories, all that love and family, that, to me, just was like, that's it. This is Notre Dame. I love this place, and if I could just give back just even a little bit of that love and sense of community that I felt from everyone, you know, that would be huge, and that's what I want to just be able to give back to Notre Dame. So that's my greatest memory, really, just knowing that I belong, that people care about me.
Well, having a positive come out of, you know, a very difficult situation probably epitomizes you and your personality as much as anybody. You are just a positive force of nature. It's unbelievable.
Oh,
and we want you part of the Notre Dame family as long as you want to be part of it. And we'll look forward to figuring out how that works. But thanks so much for joining us today. Thanks for keeping Joe on the straight and narrow. And
yeah,
helping
it's
him,
hard.
Helping
I
him
do
figure out what's
basis.
Going on out there.
Height issues. He helps control our other roommates.
Well, guys, it has definitely been my pleasure. Joe and Jack, thank you guys very much for having me.
Well, I know it'll be a special senior day for you. But beyond that, I look forward to the contributions you're going to make as we continue to pursue that dream of getting back to that championship
thank
game.
Thank you very much. Let's take care of business for Wake Forest.
Amen.
Thanks, guys.
Right,
thanks. We'll be back in a minute.
Irish fans, make sure you download the official WatchND mobile app available on iOS and Android devices. The WatchND mobile app is the best way to experience great Fighting Irish digital media, video, and audio content right on your tablet or smartphone. You'll get full access to our entire video on demand library, live game and event broadcasts, live shows and press conferences, live game stats, and more. And best of all, it's free. Search for WatchND in the iTunes Store or Android Play to download the WatchND mobile app today.
The Fighting Irish play here, 89 WLS.
Well, a lot of the focus is on Notre Dame football senior day this weekend. There's a lot of other things going on around campus. And here to wrap things up this week, Joe and Jack.
Welcome back to the Jack and Joe Show. Jack, you going to be getting out of bed anytime before noon this weekend? Or what exactly you got on the schedule for yourself?
I'm going to need a little Jarrett's energy to make it through this weekend. This is a great weekend in Notre Dame. In addition to a great football game and a senior day that it's going to mean a lot to a lot of people. We got men's basketball Friday and their regular season opener against St. Francis, ranked 18th or 19th in the country right now. Great tribute to this team and last year's success. Women's basketball Sunday and their regular season opener here against Bucknell. Coach McGraw goes for win number 700 in that game, a real milestone. Hockey's home. They've been off to a great start this season, ranked 18th, and they've got Northeastern Thursday and Friday and two special soccer games. We've got an NCAA first-round game for the women, as Teresa and we talked about, against Oakland. That's Friday night at 7 p.m., so from the pep rally, go right to that. And then the men have an opportunity to wrap up an ACC title in soccer against number 7 seed Syracuse at Alumni Stadium at 1 on Sunday. So come out and root on the Irish. Thanks, Joe, for another great show, and good luck this weekend.
Sounds good. Go Irish.
This has been the Jack Swarbrick Show, brought to you by Team Notre Dame partners Sprint, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Listen this time every week for everything Notre Dame athletics. The Jack Swarbrick Show on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.